Hi there, Omar fans. I am so excited because today I'm talking about women changing the game. These sisters are doing it for themselves, and today I'm speaking to a top triathlete. I am so excited to introduce her to you, Magda Nieuwoud. Thanks for talking to me, Magda.
I am. Like everyone, but it's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome to make time for you.
Okay, fantastic. I've been watching the world champs, and let me tell you, I am in total awe what these women are doing, but I am just like completely bowled over about what women are achieving in sports these days.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I want to take you back. I was one of those little fat girls who never got anywhere with sport. So what was your first sporting event that you can remember when you were little?
I would say it was probably a running. Like it's always like a little bit of like running in primary school where you do like a 50 meter or 40 meter, eh? Like and you just like run as fast as you can.
Did you win?
I would say yes. Like I've got a twin sister and she's probably going to say no, but I'm going to say yes.
You have a twin sister. Is she into sports at all?
Yes, she is, but she's doing it more for the fun of it.
Okay.
And enjoying it, yes.
Okay, that's amazing. So at what point, you know, did you have the moment that you decided that you're going to become a triathlete? Could you just not make up your mind about what you want to do?
So I've always been running. I've always done sport. I come from a really small town, so that's what you do there to during the weekends or sometimes at after school. That's what you do. Like you play sports, and that's where you meet new people. So it was always good. But then I was also actually a bit chubby and a little bit fat. And I think when I was 12, I said like, I'm going to change this. Like, I am not going to be a fat girl. I'm going to start running. So I was actually the one that wake up before school and went running. So I've always been into running. And at university, that's actually where it started to become running and cycling and swimming. Because the interest fact is because I started triathlon. Because there weren't a women's running team at university. It was only me that wanted to do the track running. And then I saw like there's a triathlon club starting. I thought, well, let me just go and do that then. And that's how I actually started triathlon.
Okay, so you were running. So the swimming just came and the cycling. So this thing that they say about old dogs can't learn new tricks. I can cycle a little bit. So you like started from scratch with the cycling and the swimming because you weren't really competitive in it.
Yes, so swimming we did at school, but not like majorly. But you can swim. I've never actually had a swim coach. So I had to like completely start from scratch. And I only learned cycling when I was then 18 or 19 or like, you know, proper like competing in cycling. You can't cycle. And then started from scratch and took it from there and totally changed that.
Well, you know what? That is completely amazing because I know that overseas athletes, I mean, they like start from there about 5 or 6 that, you know, that they work. So it's really incredible what you've reached up to this point. I mean, you're like one of the top triathletes in the world and you do the Ironman.
Yeah, and Ironman, like, it's where you swim, bike and run forever. It's not just like the small one. But yeah, I think it's just, you can like really easily learn new techniques if you want to like really do it. Like it's so easy. You just need to put your mind to it and then like go for it.
So that must be one of the characteristics that you must believe in yourself. What are the other characteristics that you need to become a professional athlete? I mean, in South Africa, it's not easy being a professional athlete.
No, I would say like definitely that deep self-belief is one of the characteristics that you just said. And also patience, like because you think you've got this thing, like you just want to go today and be a professional athlete and go. But in South Africa, it's really difficult because you don't always get all the backing that you need to become a professional athlete. So you need to find ways to get there in other ways than like where they would do like in Europe or something where they would get backing. So like really have the patience to change bit by bit by bit every year and see where you can get there. And then and definitely being a hard worker. You need to like be able to, no matter what, like it's not always going to go your way, and then keep on working hard and get up and go.
And you need a lot of talent, obviously.
You need talent. You need talent, but you can work hard to get there as well. No, definitely. I would say for being a professional athlete, you need talent and definitely the love for it and endurance.
I want to ask you, and I'm so happy that you are in South Africa, why are you staying in South Africa? Are you passionate about teaching other athletes, helping other people, other South Africans?
They always ask me this question, you know, like when I'm in Europe, they go like, oh, why are you staying in South Africa? It's always such a travel and it's such a mission. And I'm like, because there's so much talent in South Africa and you want them to like believe that they can also do it and you want to develop it. Because if we just go overseas and then I go and be a professional athlete and I make it, then it doesn't really change anything. Like, you want to be here and you want to change lives and you want to go and tell them, okay, because through sport, the change that comes into through a person in like doing sport and doing triathlon or challenging yourself is amazing and is huge. So I think the route for me, like being a professional athlete, is for me to be better, but it's actually to actually make other people believe in themselves and get something out of them as well.
Wow, that's amazing. I read on your I think it's your website or your blog, I read of one of the athletes that started with you a long time ago. She said that she couldn't ride a bike, she couldn't run, and now she's taking part in the Ironman, I think.
Yeah, I've got a few athletes that come to me and they can't swim, like mostly swimming is a massive thing. And or maybe they are overweight and unfit, and they won't be, you know, they won't even think of like being able to finish a massive endurance event like that. And then you see if you bit by bit can change it for them. It takes time. It's not like they start with me and then in 4 weeks we go and do a race. It's always like they need to like learn how to live a little bit like an athlete.
Oh, okay. So what do you do to live like an athlete? Give me a few tips.
Oh, okay. So for a professional athlete, you definitely need to have like a proper, like everything change actually, because I am, I like adrenaline stuff, like adrenaline junkie. I want to jump off things and I want to just go think. Then I started becoming a professional athlete and now all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, I can't jump off here because what if I'm going to get hurt? You know, like okay. You can't just do things. But I think all over just being health conscious as an athlete, like you can't like just eat what you want. Even people think you do because sometimes you do because you train a lot, but you need to be conscious about your decisions and what you eat and where you're going and are you sleeping enough, and you say no to a lot of things because of the reason like you need to rest, and people don't always get that. So I think your life as a professional athlete really changed a lot. As a general athlete also, you need to have like a very conscious of like healthy living is the major thing I would say like it changes as an athlete.
Is there a discipline? Okay, get you. Do you have a person in your life?
No, like currently I've got a lot of persons in my life, all my athletes.
Okay.
Yes, like I've got a lot of athletes and yeah, they take up a lot of time with me, but no, for me currently it's only me and my sport.
Okay, so that so it's quite alone, you know, you
it is very alone, and but it's it was, yeah, so you travel, and actually I've been in Europe now 3 weeks ago, and I travel, and I mean, there's an amazing place in Germany, and I'm sitting there, and I've just won a race, and that evening I'm sitting there, and it's my birthday, and it's just me, and I sit there, and I'm thinking, so is this now it? You know, is this now what they say is professional life all about? But yes, it is, and it's good.
Yeah, it takes a very special person, a lot of sacrifices.
Yes, but I think in the end, what you get out of it every day, you know, like when you go and train and you challenge yourself, where it clicks, that's where you get that adrenaline from okay, yeah, this is worth it. Like, and you challenge yourself every day and seeing an improvement. And, you know, like 2 years ago, I couldn't do what I do now. And then still knowing that you still need to improve more. So I think that is a major thing.
Because that's what's going to keep you going.
Yeah.
Are you going to change your route on the way, or don't you know yet?
I don't know yet, but I must tell you, it definitely changed as I went on. You know, like, first you start and you think you're going to be this professional athlete. And it's easy. Like, you are good enough and people tell you you are good enough. And you start a journey and in your head you think you go and you do a few races and you win a few races and get money. That's how easy it is. And then you start doing it. And then you go like, oh, no, this is not how easy it is. Okay. Like, there's so much things going on at the background for being an athlete. You know, like, it's managing you as an athlete and also and then getting it right, like, because you think this is the way to train and this is the way to do it, and then you do it for a year and a half or something, and then it's not the way to do it, and then you need to change, and then you go like, okay, but then let's adapt and we change and we think, okay, but let's do it this way. That probably is going to change more and more as I continue, because in the end the idea is always to be the best in the sport, you know, to be the best of South Africa, and actually to be so good that people start talking about individual sports women doing the sport. Yes. You know, but for me to be there, like, you need to be the best. So you can't make decisions in life that is not good enough, because you need to be the best. You can't just be average.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. So what is your message then to other, like, the little chubby girls like me, to get where you are now? How do we get there?
I would say definitely dream big, but, like, narrow it down. Like, make it smaller. You know, like, don't think you want, because same with me, like, I always wanted to be an athlete, but it always actually seemed so far away to be able to get it done. So then that's why I studied sports science, and I did sport, become a sports scientist to be able to work with professional athletes, because that was the way I thought to be a professional athlete, to get closer to them, is to go and work in the system. So I worked actually with a rugby team, like the Puma rugby and so on. And then later on, I'm like, oh, I can do it myself. So, and then I started, like, bits by bits, like, making smaller goals and say, okay, let's just start running. Okay, let's get to the first race. Okay, do a smaller race, do a bigger race, you know, like, really, like, make the goal smaller so that you can achieve it. And in the end, go to the bigger one. But don't like not dream big, you know, like, really set that goal as high as you can and think, it must actually think like, this is crazy, you're not going to be able to do it. So yeah, I think, like, running a marathon for you, hey, like, don't you think, like, and then then so, just like,
oh, I'll talk to you about that. So because I'm in my 60s now, how old is the oldest athlete in your club?
She's actually 62, and she did a sprint triathlon in May, where it's, like, really short, but also for her to be able to do it was massive, and to be able to finish the swim. And the same with something like that, like you say, is she started now also just to be fit and healthy.
Okay.
And I'm not going to make her do a full Ironman, or, like, it's not going to, so just make it a little bit smaller and just change that little bit. So she was also on a runner, and she did the first sprint in May.
Amazing. So little steps, baby steps.
Little baby steps. And yeah, and then achieve it bit by bit. And that makes you hungry, eh? And then you want more, and then you start believing in yourself, and then you see the change actually in everyday life, because I see it in my athletes. And in myself, like, you think, you know, you can't do anything, and then you achieve things, and then you actually take that confidence in, like, just your normal day.
So, and tell me, in COVID, because obviously everything changed with COVID. I think that was, you know, that was, like, the biggest change, for the whole world. But being an athlete, did you take part in anything at that point? Or did you just have to stay at home and train?
It was so difficult. So the first few months as an athlete, you try to always make it positive, because that's what we do every day. Your brain turns into positive mode. So always when you get a situation. So that first few weeks, I was, like, always positive, thinking, what can you do at home? Like, you trained at home and you did a few things. But then it started to, like, really hit me. Knowing that you won't be able to do any races at all, and you won't be able to travel even. And then we got that glimpse of there is going to be a race and then you train for it, but then it gets cancelled. And then remember, the pools was closed for long, eh? So we couldn't get into a pool at all. So luckily with all the virtual things, we could do stuff on indoor trainers at home, which was great. And that helped. And it also, you need to quickly change everything how we do it. So we never actually, I never actually trained indoors. I didn't like it at all. And then I was forced to change a little bit and go and say, okay, let's start training indoors. And that's where the treadmill, or I had a treadmill, it wasn't very fast, but at least you could do it. And then the indoor trainers helped a lot. And then all the virtual racing started. So we started like where you can actually race against other people online, which was actually so much fun. So you were like racing people in France and racing people in Germany online on this little, almost like video games, you know, but you on your indoor trainer. So it was so much fun actually, because then it felt like playing again. So it wasn't that serious where you need to go and you need to go to a race and all that.
No, so, you can be in your PJs and just jump on the bike. That's lacking. Maybe or that afterwards. Can become a new event.
PJ cycling.
Yes, virtual cycling. That's amazing. So you were competing against like overseas athletes. Did you like set up a meet?
You set up a meet, and what a nice thing as well is it went so far as like you could have actually done team races. So you had like say a team of six. It was actually me and a few five guys. So we were a team, and then you race other teams, and then you've got like your earphones and you talk to each other. Like, but they're obviously in different towns. You go like, come on, come up next to me, you know, and you were racing. So I did that actually in my garage, you know, racing people.
That is incredible, Sarah. Yes, I'm a little bit jealous because I was just stuck at home watching TV. And let me tell you, you get sick and tired of watching the same reruns. So you actually had a little bit of fun.
I actually had a little bit of fun. And then also, didn't you not do those challenges where you need to see if you can like, for how long you can keep the toilet paper up in the air? Or like, did you not do that?
Funny enough, no. I obviously missed out on a whole, like a whole cultural experience, online experience. I'll keep it in mind for next time.
Next time.
And the first time when you were outside and you were taking part in a race, was it without spectators the first time?
Yes, it was without spectators. Actually, you know what? I think actually this year, April was the first time where we could like allow spectators, you know, where spectators were allowed. But our sport is a bit difficult or different because it's not like in a closed arena, you know, so it's like you run, you know, down the road. So you can't really say to people they can't stand next to the road. But things like where the race starts or where we come together to put our bikes in the transition area, where it's a holding area where your bike waits for you before after the swim. Normally there's big crowds as you get into transition area, where now there were nobody. And also at the finish lines, like normally when you go into that red carpet, it's like just like this line of people.
All the people cheering.
So the first 2 years there were nothing, so you were just like running, finishing the race. Also you take your own medal, you know, put it around your neck and then just walk away. Where this year April in South Africa was the first time, and since, you know, beginning of 2020, where we could actually have spectators there, and it was amazing.
I can imagine. Then you start to, you know, appreciate there's, you know, other people around you. It's not just yourself.
And then again, you remember why you do it. Like you want to like run and like, you know, grab the hands and celebrate with them and enjoy it. And I think for them as well, like I take, for instance, my mom and dad, like they are part of this journey of mine so much as, you know, as I do it. Like I literally just do it every day, but they also want to see your success. So they also want to be there, and they just want to support you. So I think for them, it's also fun to just be part of it again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where are you heading to next? I mean, physically, what's your next event that you're taking part in?
So the next event is actually the Ironman World Championships. Oh. And you're going to love this. It is in Hawaii. it's beautiful. They say it's the most beautiful swim start where you are, because what we do is you go into the ocean and then you just wait there before the start. And they said, if you look down, you can just actually see the sea turtles and you can just see all this amazing fish.
Oh, amazing.
So it's always been in Hawaii. It's a massive, it's such a, there's a lot of history in that race since 1982. It's always every year in Hawaii. So as a triathlete, that's where you want to go. You want to go to the Big Island. So this year would actually be my first time going there as a professional athlete. And that is the 6th of October. So that will be that's what I'm now training for.
So it's called Iron Man for a reason. There are lots of men. It's very male, dominated by men.
Yes.
So as a woman, extra challenges, ne?
Yes, definitely. And you see it. It sometimes amazes me that we're still having this, conversation and still struggling with it. But you can see it. We've got live coverage during our race, but it's always there at the men, at the men's race. Mm. So it's definitely still there. And I must say that they are trying to change it, but it's getting there slightly, but we're still not there yet.
It's going to take long because it's been centuries. We only got the vote the other day.
Exactly. So, but what they've changed this year for the first time, which I'm excited for, is they separated the races. So the women's race is going to be on the 6th of October and the men's race is going to be on the 8th of October. So it's going to be different. So it's going to be totally only at the focus on our race then. So I hope it makes a difference.
I think it will make a huge difference, because then you don't have split focus.
And yes.
I mean, frankly, women are much better looking to watch than the guy, but that's me. So I will be there with your parents. Well, I'll be cheering on the TV. Your parents, are they going with you?
No, they're also going to need to watch online, but okay. At least you would be able to then see the girls as well.
Yeah.
And not the guys. Yeah.
So what is your preparation now for an Ironman? Because you've already started. So what are the steps that you need to take?
Yeah, no, you need to step by step, to prepare for Ironman is, it depends on what you need to work on. Where's your, say for me, you work a little bit more on the swimming or you need to let your running come down or so onwards. But you do a lot of volume. So for me, my daily life would be between 5 and 7 hours of training a day. So you like a full-time job, you train all day long. So I would say you would definitely work it back from 12, it's 12 weeks this week until the race. And then, work it back, say 12 weeks to go. And then say there's 4 weeks we do this, there's 4 weeks we do this. And then you just get small goals in between to change, say, okay, you're running or you're cycling or so on.
Yeah, that is amazing. So the other thing I want to ask you, so is it financially worth it to be a professional athlete in South Africa?
No. It's not. But so here's what you do. I go to Ironman now and I need to be top 12 or top 10 there to just pay my trip. And then if I be top 8 or top 9, then yes, it's okay. You'll make something. But no, you need to perform as a professional triathlete. You need to place top 5 to earn money from that race. But because you travel, you're always kind of maybe you make money, maybe not. So it can be, but it's not that easy. You really need to juggle things around to really make it worth it and say, this is your life. Now you always need to do something on the side.
Which you are doing, because you are training people. You've got your own club going. I see you've got a couple of sponsors.
You get sponsors in South Africa, but it's mostly not financial sponsors. because obviously also if nothing is really made here, so you understand, but you get a lot of backing from locals who really tries to help you in products and really helping you to make it easier for you to do the sport, because obviously you need a lot of stuff to do triathlon. It's very expensive. And then I've got my own club, Trivium Triathlon, which they are amazing, and I love working with them. But you need to always like juggle a little bit of coaching and a little bit of working with them, and then obviously yourself as an athlete.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, so but you know, you're South African. We was Mark was my plan, you know.
I must say,
do this on the side and you do a little bit of that, because clearly your sport is your passion, because otherwise because you're not doing it for the money.
No. But I think, like you just said, like we do make a plan. We love it. Like, it's not if we go overseas and, you know, something doesn't go according to plan, I do see the South Africans as very adaptable very quickly, because we're like, I was actually supposed to take this train. It's not on time. That's okay. We'll just quickly make a plan and change it. Definitely. Like, and I do think it helps you in a race, because if you've got this massive because the race is 9 hours, right? So if you think in your brain, this is how you're going to swim, this is how you're going to bike, and now you bike and you get a puncture, we just adapt and like quickly change the wheel and go, you know, like you just like quickly adapt and then change your plans and go. So it does teach you how to like survive.
So that is like the one good thing about South Africa. You can come up with a plan in that moment.
Yes, exactly.
So it's Women's Month now. What does Women's Day mean to you personally?
It's actually so amazing to, on Women's Day or Women's Month, to go and say, to see how far we've come. And to see and to hear the stories about different women and see what change they've made in life, and to celebrate that. And then to really just be reminded again, like, how far we still need to go, and to not stop trying to make a difference, because sometimes we can just like let things go, and to really go and say, okay, let's celebrate us. Let's celebrate being a woman and having a voice, and being a woman and being strong enough to make a difference, but then actually like really make a difference, like don't just say it. So I think Women's Month all in all just like reminds me of like, just go out there and do it, because you can now today.
You are inspiring me. Oh, big time. I can do it.
Don't wait to see you at the marathon at the end of the year then.
No, well, slowly. Yeah, but I'm glad to hear that your oldest athlete is about my age.
You see.
So you've already inspired me at least to consider it, you know. So, and where, like you said, you know, you must never stop dreaming.
Yes.
Will it, I mean, you're an amazing top triathlete. Will you ever take on another, you know, another sport?
I think I would first like want to like really achieve everything I can with triathlon, because if I come to the end of the journey and think, okay, you know, I can't do anything better, and I'll click it and I'll like, okay, tick that box, you've done everything you can, maybe then I'll stop just becoming a runner, or maybe I don't know, like completely, I'm very up for change, maybe I will change, you never know, but for now I will first like just want to like really go as far as I can in triathlon, and then but if it doesn't work out, I will then just like take another route and like always just try to get the best out of whatever, you know.
I can see you're not going to take anything lying down. Yeah. I look forward to seeing you in Hawaii the 6th of October, you said.
6th of October, yes. Then it's the massive spread.
And is there a time difference? What time do I need to get up to cheer you?
Oh, it's massive. Like if you actually... It's on totally different other side of the world, hey? Like, I think it's 12 hours, and you're going to need to watch the race, like, very...
But it's a long race.
Yeah.
I'll catch you.
Sometime during the... You're going to do everything your whole day, and I'm still going to be busy running or swimming or something.
Okay. And how many... Do you know how many athletes are competing with you, more or less?
On a day like that, it'll be 3,000 plus athletes. But wow. For professional women, it's only 50 that you need to qualify. You do different races during the year and you need to podium or win a race to be able to qualify as a professional. And I've done that now in April. And then you like only 50 professional women that does the race, like all over the world, international.
I mean, that is huge, absolutely huge. I'm completely, I'm completely blown away about your by your talent and your perseverance. And yeah, I'm going to be the 6th of October. You can't even hear me, but I'm going to be going to market swim. I'll get my husband to watch with me.
Yeah, I like it.
It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. You are really, really inspirational.
Oh,
and yeah, you just go, girl. You just go.
Oh, thank you.
Take the message out there that sisters are doing it for themselves.
I love it. I love it. Okay.
Thanks a lot. And there you have it, Magda Nieuwoud, top triathlete. We are going to be watching her in Hawaii on the 6th of October. Thank you so much for watching with me. And from Oma Fabs, it's a bye. Until next time. Bye.